Have you ever dreamed of a life designed by you, not for you? A life where you hold the reins of your financial future? At Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all walking the path towards financial independence. We understand that success is crafted in the face of adversity. It's in these testing times that we discover our resilience, our determination, and our discipline. That's why we're inviting you to learn more about Become an Investor. It's not just about learning the ins and outs of real estate investing. It's about empowering you to take control of your financial future. We'll provide the tools, but the choice to act, to persevere, and to succeed is yours. Join us and start your journey towards living life by design. Together, we'll turn aspiration into reality and empowerment into success. Learn more at becomeaninvestor.com.
Okay, everyone, welcome to today's episode of Live Life by Design podcast. We have a great night full of energy today with, what is it, Danny?
Hello, beautiful people.
Yeah.
We're all stealing that one now.
Yeah, that became the staple of the energy kind of starting off, because sometimes some of us are just worn out.
Dead, right?
But you know what? The beauty of it is that we still go ahead and go across finish line, man.
That's right.
It's that commitment, that consistency that everybody should account for in their business, for whatever that business is. You know, the consistency is a trick. But before we go any further and before we introduce our guest tonight, who's up next? I got Danny over here. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Hello, beautiful people.
I was waiting for it.
I think Bruce, you should add some music to the background to that. Yeah. When that comes on.
That'd be cool, huh?
Yeah. Campos, how you doing tonight, man?
Good, man. Good. Just getting it all done. That's it. Just trying to make shit happen. You know?
That's the trick, man. So you're going to tell us a little bit about our guest tonight, right?
Yeah, you know what? So our guest tonight, he is a passionate man. He's very passionate about empowering real estate professionals to build thriving businesses one deal at a time, which is freaking cool.
Yep.
He wants to help you secure the funding for your fix and flip, gap funding, EMD, etc. You know, he wants to turn your vision into reality.
Right on.
I think that's pretty cool.
That's a huge invisible obstacle in the growth of an investor. You know, that funding side, it's the scary side. Where am I going to get the money from?
Where's the money?
Yeah. And you know, I've seen many upcoming investors just not take action because they have that limiting belief.
Yep.
But then when you have someone in your team or in your community, in your networking group, like our guest tonight, that is the bridge to that funding, then I guess you have nothing to sweat about.
Right. And you hit the nail on the head. You're saying that, you know, most investors or beginner investors just stop because, oh, I don't have the money for it.
Right.
And I think that almost stopped me at one point, you know, for reals, man. Yeah. For real. I mean, so having that as a resource or having a person like that as a resource is actually, it's going to be extremely helpful for, you know, those listening.
It's invaluable.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So, Danny, what's up? Well, you have a quote for us, right?
I do. So, like everybody knows, you love to share the quote from our guest. And his favorite quote, it's one of my favorite quotes is, I mean, his, know you're worse than add taxes.
Yeah.
I know. I thought that was pretty cool.
Know your worth and add the tax.
Yeah.
That's gangster.
I know. He's a gangster.
Yeah. That is awesome. That is awesome, you know. But, you know, without further ado, Mr. Gamino.
What's going on, folks?
Jeremy,
how's everybody doing?
How you
welcome,
doing?
Welcome.
Doing great. How about you guys?
Good. Doing good, man. Great. Glad to have you here. Why don't you expand a little bit on that quote? Why that quote, man?
So The reason I chose that quote, the reason I try to live by that quote is a lot of people like to hop into things and give you their maximum, but not know what to do for the rest, not know what to charge. They say, hey, you know what? Don't worry about this time. Get me next time. Or you know what? 50% discount. Don't worry about it. Mm. But at the end of the day, what you're doing is you're essentially cutting yourself short because you spend all the time, all the money and your resources giving everything you got. And you're not getting properly compensated for it. So when this came across, I was just like, man, it's just so true. You got to know what you're worth, all the stuff that you've done, all the things that you've learned, all the experience of blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
Know what that's worth.
Yeah.
And then just add tax.
Yeah. Well, like never sell yourself short.
Absolutely.
And yeah, yeah.
Go ahead. I was going to say, because you know what? That I like that quote because it's the talent. Everybody does that. Right, because they want to gain business, right, or they want to get their foot in the door for whatever reason. And sometimes, hey, it doesn't hurt. But I was working with he wasn't a contractor, but he was aspiring to be, right, and he was a handyman. So he's done some work for me around mobile homes and stuff like that. And he would always come in with these crazy low prices. Mm. And I would tell him, like, dude, don't do that to yourself.
Yeah.
Number one, it does a disservice to you and me.
Yeah. Right,
because you trying to hang around and get more business out of me, that's great. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. But you know what you do to me? You give me shitty quality work. Because now you're in the back of your mind, oh, well, I'm only charging this much. So don't do that because you're hurting me. And then on the flip side of that, you're hurting yourself because, you know, I come up with these contracts with, you know, finish on this day or I'm going to, you know, deduct. And he would, you know, never really finish on time. Mm-hmm. And then I would feel bad about having to deduct from him sometimes, but it is what it is, right? And then I would tell him, see, this is your fault, you know, because in the back of your mind, you're only charging me X, and that's the quality of work or the timing that you put into it.
Started off wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So keep that. I mean, I think that, you know, for our listeners out there, I can't even talk, man. You know, keep that in mind, man. Know your worth and then charge accordingly. And then the tax, right?
Absolutely. There you go.
And you touch on something very important because, you know, I'm a man of 1,000 stories, right? Or a million. I forget the number.
Million and one.
Yeah, a million and one. If you don't know your worth, then do you know what you claim to know? Right? Like, alongside what you know, you should be aware of, at least have a comparable.
Right.
Right? Just like real estate and say, well, wait, I just helped you fix this issue that helped you get through the finish line and get your check.
Of course.
Man, it might be worth something, right? Because favors in this business, I mean, I'm not in the business for stories, right? I'm not looking to write a book about how many great stories I can come across in real estate investing, but that's a cool quote. I think we can talk all night about that fucking quote and have a ton of stories on it and expand all night on it, right? But we're not here to talk about the quote. We're here to talk about Mr. Gamino.
Mr. Jeremy Gamino.
Gamino, when I met you, well, I call him Gamino. When I met him at a networking event out in
Ontario.
Ontario, right? It was a brewery.
Yep.
And, you know, I was just having a beer or two, maybe. I think three count. And then we just started chopping it off, you know, chopping it away. And I actually asked him, are you Italian? Because of the last name, right?
Yeah.
He's like, no, man, I'm Mexican and I'm from Jalisco and Michoacan. I'm like, oh, right on, dude. And then we just chatted away all night, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great event.
It was great meeting you.
You're a cool dude, man.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you. It was great meeting you too. I mean, learned a lot. You know, it was very enlightening for me. I was able to open my mind to other opportunities and actually just kind of get the chance to pick somebody else's brain. Mm-hmm. And you know, that night was a great brain to pick.
Yeah, well, thank you. But, you know, it was what we were talking about in our previous podcast, networking, the power of networking.
Oh, yeah.
And the intention behind networking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I met somebody that pretty much checks the box for everybody's fear, which is the funding side. Mm-hmm. You know, now everybody listening that follows what we do or upcoming investors or entrepreneurs for that matter, people are closer to you than you think. Your resources are closer to you than you think. But we don't ask. We don't do some of the discoveries in the process. I would have never known you're a lender.
Yeah. All about that 3-foot rule, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? Having those conversations with people within 3 feet, or I don't know, COVID times 6 feet. I don't know.
Yeah. But,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. So what got you into the lending side of the business, man? Tell us about that.
Well, it's a interesting kind of funny story. So I never thought about being into real estate. That was never, ever my end game. That really? Was never my MO. I was always taught to keep your head down, work hard, and things will happen.
Yeah.
But as I got older, I started seeing that, hey, you know, there's people out there who are putting their head down and working hard.
Yeah.
And they're just getting a paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, funny enough, at my little side hustle, I was talking to one of my other teammates, and he was like, hey, there's this gentleman out there talking about how you can buy a house the unconventional way with creative financing. All right, that seems kind of interesting. Okay, you know what is it? Listen to a couple of his videos, and I'm like, dang, man, like this guy is just very genuine. So yeah. It's pretty awesome. All right, cool. And I'm looking at that. I'm like, whatever, you know, kind of push that to the side because I didn't have the time for it.
Mm-hmm.
So then one day I seen one of his videos, and he's talking about lending. Start your own business and lend. You can do this with, you know, next to no time, and you don't need your own money to do it. And I'm thinking, man, pockets are feeling a little bit light. I think that's something I could do. I could do this.
Mm-hmm.
I could do this. This is something I can do. And sure enough, talked to my wife one day. I'm like, look, this opportunity came up, and I've always been talking about some kind of opportunities. I've always had that entrepreneurial spirit. What do you think? Sure, let's do it. You know, I support you. Mm. Awesome. Let's do it. So pulled the trigger then, and I'm like, all right, well, now I'm here. Now I'm lending. And that's kind of how I got into it.
Right on, right on. How long ago was that? Was that jumping the fear factor and taking action? When did that happen?
That happened in late last year, late July, early August.
Okay, so not too long ago. Maybe not even a year old.
Correct.
Okay, cool. And how's it been so far?
It's been great.
Yeah,
I love it. I closed out on an EMD deal not too long ago. I am currently working on a private money for a fix and flip, and that's working out pretty great. I mean, it's been working out great. I've been learning a lot.
And then you were telling me that you're getting into underwriting, right?
Correct. Yeah. I'm taking a course right now, learning how to underwrite, because obviously, although I want to bring money to the table, but I also want to underwrite the deals and make sure it actually makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's a risk and reward business.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, the closer you are to the firsthand information, the safer the return.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I mean, the underwriting is just the numbers. Yeah. They are all on that little spreadsheet that I hated.
Yeah,
they are telling you the truth, what's coming, numbers
don't lie.
Nope. They don't.
Exactly. And sometimes it's you get a lot of people with that, you know, hey, I want to get my first deal. Here's what I need. And, you know, with the underwriting, you're actually underwriting and look at it thoroughly. And you're just like, hey, you're not going to make anything off of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel comfortable lending you the money. It doesn't make any sense for me. So, you know, take another look at it and we can talk after that.
Yeah.
And also there, it's where you can start looking how creative you can be.
Absolutely.
You know, lending, it's one part, but for whoever is an investor and wants to learn a little bit, it helps you to pull that creativity.
Absolutely. You
know, that it does. But it's crazy. It's a lot of numbers.
Yeah. It's something in the industry I probably wouldn't like looking into. I'm not very much of a bookworm, you know? But it's the math. It's the hardcore numbers.
Exactly. And then you're also bringing, you know, more value to the deal, more value to everything. Yeah. Because, you know, one thing, again, is I can bring the money. You know, I have a network. I have a, you know, great team that I work with. But another thing is, hey, I can bring the money, but let me bring extra value. Let me show you the actual numbers that I see and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what's going on.
Yeah. Which gives you a better position in the scope of the team.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Campos, you're thinking.
Yeah, too, I mean, and I like that. I kind of like what you're saying. You know what I mean? Being able to underwrite and understand the numbers and then be able to provide that service. Because ideally, if you can help people through that process, because, you know, everybody, just off the comments between Danny and Weechel, numbers don't lie, but also they're not the bookworms. They're not the numbers people, right? I mean, obviously they are with their deals, but that's not their forte, right? So to have somebody on the team, you know, or someone that you can reach out and grab and say, hey, you know what, take a look at this for me and get that feedback. I mean, there's a lot of value in that.
Of course.
And there's where the relationship building comes into play. Right?
Of course.
Which I think is freaking cool. I think that, yeah, I mean, that it sounds like it's a good way for you to, you know, really get yourself just kind of in the way you describe that. That's the catapult.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because anybody can land.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
But if you're actually trying to provide that extra value, that's where it's at.
Exactly. Right?
It's all about helping the people that you're working with,
yeah,
and adding that value.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
So underwriting service, is that a separate service that you give? Is it have to be, you have to be the lender in your underwriting?
No, absolutely. Or? No, not at all. I mean, once everything's kosher, I can just be the underwriter.
Okay.
If not, you know, if I'm not the lender and somebody else is a lender, I'm completely fine with that. There's always an avenue, a street to jump in and kind of get in. All right, look, I'm bringing this value. Let's talk. But you know, that's an extra, I guess, superpower that I want to bring to the table as well.
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that. Superpower, yeah, man.
So you have an extra tool.
Absolutely.
Right. You have an extra tool. You know, I tell my son plays soccer. I tell him, dude, you're gonna go try out. Don't give him everything you have. Just be solid. Just be reliable.
Exactly.
On the field. And then the coach sees you and he says, wow, you know, you're an all-around player. And then the next day you pull something out, you're like, another card?
Yeah.
What? You didn't tell me that the first time. Well, I mean, I'm just looking to grow with the team.
Of course.
And then they fall in love with you because you're a problem solver.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's so cool, man. That is so cool.
Strategies.
Yeah.
Yeah, working.
So you scared me here a little bit. Well, you didn't scare me. You surprised me, right? Because the question says, what made you become an entrepreneur? You said, my family, boss, friends, and my great-grandkids. I'm like, what the fuck? How old are you, man? Just for the listeners.
I'm 25 years old with 13 years of experience.
25
years old. So 38 years old.
38 years old. How many grandkids do you have?
None.
That's funny.
That is funny. But you made a great comment around that. It's the vision, right?
It's the vision. It's building wealth and a legacy that'll last for my grandkids and their grandkids, so they're able to, you know, they're able to live their life off of what I've been able to build today.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That is something that everybody should account for in their planning.
Of course.
Looking that far beyond.
Oh, 100%.
You know, everybody's so quick to look for the instant gratification, for the now. And then I guess that's how people get sucked into the lifestyle and all that shit.
The watch, the suit, the car.
Yeah. And they forget about the stability, the longevity of the business.
Of course.
I think everybody's just getting comfortable to be on that spot. Like, they don't move to get anything, to add anything. I mean, it's a lot, not everybody, but a lot of people that are not with the mindset of entrepreneurs, they are just comfortable and they do not look, they don't have that vision to go far enough as your grandkids. They don't really care. And you talk with them, they look at you like they're looking at the dinosaur because they don't understand.
But so. Yeah. I think it's almost like checking a box, right? Hey, I did this, I accomplished this, and I got that watch. You know what I mean? I got the suit, I got the car. I'm good, you know?
Right? Yeah.
No, I mean, I had a conversation with my two boys on Saturday. And, you know, I'm just telling them how, you know, I reinvest in my companies, right? My business. You know, whatever money we make out of the company, we put it back in, right? Mm-hmm. That's just our routine.
It's 101.
And my son was like, well, when are you going to spend money? When I'm dead, then you get to spend it.
Yeah, of course.
I told him because my goals and my aspirations, yes, are for me to build something, but they're not meant for me, if I'm saying that right.
Mm-hmm.
They're meant for you, your kids and your kids' kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm going Rockefeller style and your kids' kids. And I mean, that's the aspiration. That's the goals, right?
Yeah. So
I can definitely relate. And I think, you know, everybody at the table here can relate to what you're saying. You know, as far as your great grandkids, well, make it your great, great grandkids as well. Right?
Exactly.
You know, but I think that you got to have that mindset of, what you're trying to build and how you're going to go about doing it, because it's sacrifice.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of sacrifice.
That's the heaviest out of all.
That is because, you know, you can look at your bank account and be like, oh shit, look what but I'm not touching it. It's not mine. It's not for me. Like, I look at it, it's not for me to spend, you know, and I'm not saying I'm, you know, Crazy Rich Asian over here. You know what I mean?
He's but dingy fucker.
I know. I'm trying to hold out on $1,500.
Poor of your wife. I'm sorry for your wife right now.
No, but I mean, it's just the mindset you have to have, and it's discipline. In fact, I was writing that down. It's the three D's, right? Mm-hmm. Dedication, desire, and determination. Excuse me. That you have to have being in this entrepreneur game.
Absolutely.
Because if you're missing one of those, man, you're fucked.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
So, Gamino, you're going to be tapping into your first year of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Gamino in the next 3 to 5 years?
Where am I going to be in the next 3 to 5 years? By that time, I'm going to be owning a couple of midterm rentals.
Okay.
Some pad splits. And try to capitalize on that and make some affordable housing, especially out here in California. So try to get some affordable housing and just kind of rinse and repeat.
I don't know that affordable is in California's vocabulary.
It's not.
Seriously, man.
Hey, actually, there is a great gap in LA for that. If I'm not wrong, I'm talking with someone to do something like that, and it is huge. So,
oh yeah, absolutely.
There is a spot. There is a space. I mean, I know you're in California. I know you're joking, but there is a lot of space to create new strategies and even put in the you know, government. You can get a lot of money from other people. So you use other people's money.
Of course.
Yeah. And you know what? If you want some affordable housing, talk to me, man, because, you know, we can get you in a nice mobile home. As
possible, hey, that's a conversation to be had.
You know?
Hey.
So what about, do you work with mobile homes?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet, but that's a possibility.
But that's not a no.
That's not a no, no, not
okay,
at all.
There you go.
All doors are open.
Oh, right on. Cool. I mean, because, you know, I remember in my upbringing as an investor, I was told no condos and no manufactured homes. Mm. Remember?
I did and, both.
You know, I mean, I and,
what rule?
And then no land.
Oh, I got that too.
Like, it didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Why those guidelines, right? No manufactured homes, no condos, and no land. And mind you, I got brought up. My grandpa used to tell us all the time, land will never betray you.
Mm-hmm.
God ain't making any more of it.
Oh, shit. You know, so it was like it was a mind fuck. Like, my coach who I hired is telling me, don't buy land. Mm-hmm. But then my grandpa told everybody, buy land. You know what? When he passed, his five kids, his five boys inherited so much fucking land and subdivided it into lots.
Nice.
You know, they were just having a beer the other day and they were talking about how many they've sold and how many they still have. And I'm like, wow, because he bought land.
Yeah.
You know, so talk about benefiting generations ahead.
Yeah, for sure, man.
You know. But, yeah, what about land? I mean, there's no security there other than the fucking weeds on the floor, but.
You know, right now my focus is just trying to, you know, get up and running, get the lending aspect going, and then from there just venture out. Because, you know, right now I don't want to focus on too much because then, you know, the shiny object.
Yeah.
And then it's, oh, man, what about land? Oh, what about this? And then, you know, what happened to the original thing that got me into it?
Right.
But that's always a possibility. You know, when the day comes, when that opportunity comes and I have that knowledge or I have the team that has the knowledge, why not?
Yeah. So right now, is it mostly single family homes?
Correct.
Okay, cool. Cool. That's cool. I like that you are that hyper focused, you know, starting off with what you can reach and touch at your.
Exactly.
And then migrate from that.
Exactly.
When your business allows you to.
Yeah.
Right. Or your knowledge base or your resource base. Right.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. That's so cool.
So I try to keep those doors open again. You know, right now, as much as I can learn from what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Would eventually open a door for something that I'm going to learn tomorrow.
Of course.
And then those other possibilities are just going to come up and say, you know what? All right, cool. This is something I can jump into.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I say that real estate for me, it is the fourth language that, you know, I'm learning. still learning. It's like English. I'm still learning. It's never enough. And every day there is something different. And day you build something else. So I think on the moment you get with the right team, like you say, and start developing other areas, even finding your real investor ID, it's going to come on the point where you're just going, because right now you are like a year old in the game, right?
Yeah, still an infant.
Yeah. So after a year or two.
I ain't changing any diapers, right?
Yeah, don't sell milk, just beer. So, but I think after a while you're going to be more comfortable with what you really see you doing as an investor, developing, buying land, buying everything. I mean, it comes more natural for me. It takes a while. I still see a lot of shiny objects everywhere. It is really nice to see how much focus you have when you talk, because that it's going to put you ahead of the game. I see a lot of shiny objects. I need to be like, no, Daniel, this way, Daniel. Look forward, you know, and it's distracting. So
it's very hard.
I don't know
if you guys caught that on the camera, but we try and I looked at each other like,
she goes like this, and then she goes like this.
I love my team. See,
well, you know what? We were talking before coming upstairs to the studio. And I was sharing with you one of the leads I have that I'm going to be looking at, right? Which is that individual that has a piece of land with a vacant house, wants to tear that down and build apartments on that.
Okay.
And he's looking to do an equity split on it. So, you know, I wouldn't mind you being part of that road if I need to raise capital for that.
Absolutely.
That's a task. That's a one lease task that I have to take on.
Of course,
you know,
and I'm here for it.
Yeah. And then he's got another ADU that he's willing to share equity from the primary residence in exchange to, I think it's an unpermitted ADU. He's willing to exchange equity from the primary to fix the ADU and make it habitable and pass inspection.
Oh, nice.
So that's another, like, that's a crazy fucking deal.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and then tomorrow I'm going to be walking another property in Jurupa Valley, which is just land, and they want to do a fourplex.
Oh, nice.
So
nice.
I got to raise capital for that too. And who's sitting across the table from me? Mr. Gamino.
Yes, sir.
Right? So is that something that you can get going? And I mean, obviously you have to put your eyes on it and look at it and the potential. But is that something that you, that's why I say land, is it maybe not in your lane right now? Do you have the resources to kind of line up or?
In my lane, right now, no, but there in the network that I've been able to contact and the people I've been able to talk in the community, yes. There's somebody out there. There always is. There's going to be somebody for that niche.
Yeah.
And I can absolutely just, you know, put a message out there and see who bites.
Right.
And then say, hey, you know, let's have a conversation. Let's have a Zoom. Let's get something face to face with somebody.
Yeah.
And let's see if it makes sense. And if it makes sense, let's get something going.
Right. Right. I mean, when was it? We had that episode where the quote was, it stuck in my mind so much that I can't fucking remember it. You know,
oh, that one. I don't know.
Everyone you meet knows something you don't know.
That was like a couple of episodes ago, but yeah. That's a freaking badass quote.
Because now, like, I don't care for title. I don't care for underwriting. I don't care for escrow. I don't care for absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Guess what? I don't care to raise capital. But then I know somebody that does. Because I'm good at what I'm good at, which is terms and negotiation. So I'm going to structure something that's going to benefit everybody.
Of course.
Not just the land.
Right.
Right? And it's getting those little chunks and pieces of tools that you need to fill that toolbox for that project.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And it's just conversations away.
Yeah, I was talking with my friend today. Hopefully she's going to be with us pretty soon too. And this
podcast is sponsored by Become an Investor. Here at Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals, all working a path towards financial independence. We're about empowering you to take control of your financial future. Well, how? Well, most of us got started with foreclosure leads, and you now can too. Follow the link in the show notes below, and for a limited time, you can get our foreclosure ebook. With that, we'll also send you up to 10 free leads in your local area. So get those leads. Get this book so you too can get started on your path to living life by design. Now back to the podcast.
Exactly what you're talking, because she's a capital raiser. And we're talking about everybody that you know and what everyone does. And in 5 minutes, not 5 minutes, but 30 minutes on lunchtime, you build it up a city, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, I know someone that does this. I know someone that does that. And it's just two of us. And can we imagine like being in a room where everybody just talk the same language and everybody knows a little piece of the game or where it can be fit and just create that in 2 seconds. It is not trying to do everything like you don't want to. I don't want either. But knowing everybody that can fit on the deals like yours, it's just a magical. It's like it is a big piece of real estate that you need to put together. It's a puzzle.
Yeah.
And if you have the piece on the game, you are 100 steps ahead.
100, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. You know, I was sharing with Gamino here that we were having our meeting here last Wednesday, we're masterminding here, and you know, we're talking about the laws of attraction. And then I told everybody, well, why don't you just start tampering with the laws of creation? And this is how magic happens, right? In our community, we have a class A licensed engineer, right? So, because you need that for development.
Yeah, of course.
Then we have a class B general contractor, matter of fact, two. Now, a lender. What? And then booked meetings to look at potential deals. Dude, I mean, it's everything just starts stacking up naturally, and then you decide if you take action or not.
Exactly, and that's what happens when you network with intention.
Yeah,
you build those relationships. Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Campos, you're in deep thought over there, man. What are you thinking of? Like you're trying to pink in the brain over here, trying to fucking conquer the world.
Keep thinking about how I'm gonna take over the world. I was actually thinking about, man, how am I going to get home tonight? I got to get gas. Shoot.
No. Oh, my God.
Hey, okay. Gavino's going to do the lending over here.
I know, man. I know. I drifted off, man. I'm sorry. No, but I think that's actually really cool. I think that, you know, if you ever also decide to get into mobile homes, let me know because, you know, we're working on a couple of different we have a couple of things in the pipeline right now that, if I can get funding for. Right, I'd much rather do it that way than utilize anything on my end because who knows what pops up after, right?
Yeah, yeah, and the good thing is one of my partners, they just bought a mobile home park not too long ago.
Yeah.
So it just, you know, it's again, it's
that, somebody's there.
Yeah, somebody's there.
That's pretty cool. And then that goes back into, you know, because that is part of our plan, right, with mobile home park. And talking about that affordable housing as well, you know what I mean? Yeah. Which is kind of cool. Yeah. But
yeah. So as a lender, do you just operate right now in the state of California?
No. Pretty much right now it's all 48.
All 48
states. Yeah, except for two. But yeah, not just California. We also do just anywhere. Like the private money that I'm doing right now is out of Arizona. The EMD that I did not too long ago, that one was Indianapolis.
Got it. Okay, cool. So you have to be licensed for that?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Just, I mean, obviously have your LLCs, you know, be legit.
Yeah.
You know, have your LLCs, have your contracts.
Yeah.
And make sure your JVs agreements are nice and tidy, and then have a transactional coordinator to make sure that they're crossing the T's and dotting the I's. Make sure that everything's good.
Because you were telling me that there's the industry has created or has been demanding more so of a more extended vetting process, right?
Absolutely.
For people because there's some.
Yeah, you know, and you want to properly vet somebody. You want to make sure that, you know, whoever is you know, is contacting you, hey, I need $150 for this fix and flip. Okay, well, who are you? You know, let's build a relationship.
What's your experience level? Does that matter?
Actually, it does. It does, you know. Your experience level, past HUD statements, referrals.
Yeah.
You know, who have you worked with? Yeah. And what do they have to say about you? Who else has lent you money?
Yeah.
And did you pay them back in time? You know, were there any issues and were those issues resolved properly?
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, if, you know, if everything just matches up, then okay. Let's go ahead and let's get this ball rolling.
Yeah.
But if in the beginning, you know, something just, there's a bunch of red flags, like, hey, I need the money tomorrow, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, we have a saying, we use it here often, there's no real estate emergency.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, I guess if you don't do your due diligence, then you create your own emergencies.
Exactly.
Right.
But then why would you want to work with somebody that already didn't do the first step?
Yeah.
Skipped a couple steps, and then you're going to eat it?
Yeah, and you know, and one of the biggest things that everybody in the community that we're taught and that we're trying, you know, that everybody's put into practice is, if you're not willing to undertake that project, if you're not willing to purchase that home or you know, in some cases land or, you know, mobile homes or whatnot, then are you really interested in doing it?
If you weren't to do it yourself.
Correct.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if you wouldn't put yourself in that scenario, why put anybody else in?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let me ask this question as relates to your lending and the criteria. How many, what's the number you're looking for as far as the number of deals? And does it matter what type of properties they are?
Yes and no. So as far as what it matters for deals, you know, obviously we look for collateral.
Right.
We want to make sure that there's something that we could, you know, leverage in the event that everything falls through for the person or they just stop calling. So we want to make sure that, hey, we have that, you know, the promissory note, a collateral, and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the other question?
How many do you have a set number of deals that you have to have under your belt for you to lend for? And if so, what type of deals are part of that criteria, right? So I do mobile homes,
mm-hmm.
right? Not to say that I don't get into real property, but my specialty, that's my niche, right?
Correct.
Mobile homes. So I've done more mobile homes than I've done in any real property.
Okay.
So is there a specific number you're looking for as it relates to the number of deals that I have to have under my belt to get funding through you?
I would say there has to be some kind of experience or somebody backing you that has that experience.
50,000.
I know, right?
you know, you have to have some kind of backing.
Yeah.
And then again, there has to be some kind of collateral. Because if you're a newbie telling me, hey, I've never done a deal, but I'm going to do this fix and flip, I need funding.
Yeah.
It's more often than not going to be like, you know what? I'm more than likely not going to touch it. I want to make sure, you know, you have, you know, if you were to come to me and say, hey, this is my first fix and flip, but this is the partner I have backing me. Right. They have X amount of deals that they've done, you know, 2, 3, 15, 20. Here's their HUD statements. Here's their referrals. Here's what, you know, here's everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then it'd be more comfortable. Yeah. All right, so you have backing. You have somebody standing behind you who's accredited. Who's
You're leaning on somebody's credibility.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So and then you know again, you know the collateral, the promissory. You know, so as long as there's those exits.
Yeah.
Then why not?
Yeah, those guarantees. I mean, nobody's gonna let their friends go out with strangers.
Exactly.
You know.
I do. If I don't like them.
Well, I mean, it's just common sense, right?
Yeah.
You know, we had one of our students ask for money for a property that the student hadn't walked, was going over the information that was getting from the wholesaler.
Okay.
And there wasn't enough information to lead her anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, so she asked if she could get access to our money sources. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't. You know, why would I put you in contact with the money source knowing that you don't know what you don't know?
Yeah.
And then you screw it up, and then I just burnt the bridge. Mm-hmm. You know, so, yeah, when it comes to the money and it comes to the possible pits, the money pits in rehabbing and restoring properties, you know, because there's development, right? There's development, which is bare land, new structures. That's development. Then there's redevelopment, mm-hmm. which is you get an old shitty house and you have to rehab it, right? In construction, behind the scenes, right, a contractor, I have a hard time letting people, you know, say, oh, I have experience doing everything because I've been doing it for 30 fucking years and I don't have experience doing everything. You know what I'm saying? And construction could be a huge money pit in the process of you know, if when you acquire, if you didn't do your rehab numbers right, or if you did your numbers right, but then you discovered new things through the process. You know, I saw this guy that bought a house out in Texas, I think it was, mm-hmm. and found two bodies in the wall.
Oh, shit.
What do you do with that shit?
Oh, man.
You know?
Don't make a story.
Yeah.
Right.
Best case.
Bury them in the backyard, man. Fertilizer.
So what happens there? You know, it's like, that wasn't an account for. Like, you know.
Yeah, no shit.
You didn't consider that in your numbers. Like, oh, let me just add two dead bodies.
In there. Think about that. That's gonna halt this project for a while.
Absolutely. Come in hold and investigate. Money.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure Gamino has some terms over here that, you know, the turnaround. Yep. How long is my money going to go out?
Exactly.
Is there extension fees? Is there penalties? Yeah. Right? What do they look like?
Absolutely.
You know, so what, now I got to go sell my fucking dog or my cousin, right? to pay you back.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, there's those provisions. There's those contracts. And there's those exits.
Right.
At the end of the day, you know, and it's always good to have those, obviously. And it's always good to have somebody who knows what they're looking at, you know, somebody who knows how to read those contracts.
Yeah, so I want to make sure that if I go into any deals with you, that I put in, there's a clause in the contract that says if I find any bodies in the walls, I get an extra 6 months to pay.
You never know, man. Shit,
right?
That's true.
You know, being a pool contractor, when you dig, if you find a bone, not even knowing what that bone is, you got to stop and call the coroner's office by law.
Oh, wow.
And you just have to. So, Chino... it was mostly Chino, Norco. You would dig, and farmers would just bury their cows. You know, and nobody knew this. And then you dig 6 feet, and there's a fucking, you know, a gang of cows under there. You got to stop the job. You got to stop the job, and then call the coroner's office, and they got to give you clearance.
No shit.
Oh, wow.
And in that time, there's money being leaked.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do absolutely nothing. You know, because the coroner's not like just scratching his stomach over at the office waiting to see who's going to call him.
Yeah.
They're busy. They're entities that are busy all over the place. You know, so all those unforeseen boo-boos, if you want to call them that,
yeah,
cost money. Right?
Of course.
Any stories, any bad stories that you or your colleagues have came across? Or
well, one story that I will share is that my first EMD deal. Mm-hmm. So from the jump, from the beginning, it was all looking good. You know, the paperwork looked good, the house, just everything was looking good. I did the due diligence, the TC did the due diligence, but just things weren't going the way they should have gone. The EMD that should have been paid out come you know, early December of last year went to late December. Then it went to early January, then it went to February, and then you know, finally got paid out. It just things weren't adding up. The buyer was telling the seller, I need X amount of things fixed before we move forward, and the seller just wasn't having it. The seller was like, I'm not gonna do those, you know, that's not what we signed up for. But long story short, with all that, the person who actually borrowed the EMD was humble enough and was intuitive enough to be like, you know what, dude, this went south. And I, you know, out of my own pocket, I'm going to go ahead and pay you what you lent and what your profit was going to be.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's you know, that right there was one of those things to where you know, it sucked.
Yeah.
Because I was very excited. Man, that's my first deal. This is going to go great.
It was going to be a loss.
Yeah, it was. It was going to be a loss originally, but the borrower was just like, you know what? It sucks that all this happened. It wasn't supposed to happen like this, but here's what you lent and here's your profit.
Made you right.
Made you whole.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool, man.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's one of those connections you never want to let go of.
That's what I was going to say, man. That's somebody you want to keep in your back pocket.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Well, absolutely. The breast pocket.
Yeah, yeah. That's so cool.
But it was a great learning experience because, you know, in something like that, you know, you think the first deal is going to be that deal that's going to you know, bring bank. But throughout the whole process, I'm just like, geez, dude, this is taking way too long. Like, I screwed up. I did something wrong. But one thing that I've been taught is, hey, you know, you got to look at that loss or what could potentially be a loss and flip it and find the lesson in it.
Yeah.
100%.
That is cool. That is cool. It kind of sucks that it was on your first one.
Yeah, it does.
A lot of people quit after that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A lot of people say, fuck this, man. This is not, right? And they just drop it.
Yeah.
And they move on to something else.
No, you know?
You stuck the course, right? You stayed the course and understood that there's hiccups here and there all the time.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. It's going to happen in anything you do, especially, you know, being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Hopping into the whole, you know, real estate, something that I'm not familiar with. It's just things that I'm going to learn.
Yeah.
And it's you have to look at it as a win. One thing my boss told me one time that just blew my mind, he said, I never lose. And yeah. I looked at him and I'm like, dude, that's the silliest thing you could say. What do you mean you never lose? And he told me, I either win or I learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at him like, dude, that just blew my mind. I'm like, dude, that's the dopest thing that anybody's ever told me.
Yeah.
I say that all the time.
Oh, there you go.
No, but I do. Like, I never say I took an L.
Yeah.
I took a lesson. That's my, I don't ever want to, like, there is no losing unless you, because it's a mindset.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah, of course.
If you take it as a loss, just like we just said, people walk away from the business, walk away from whatever it is that they had their vision on, or, you know, maybe it was that shiny object, whatever the case may be, you're going to walk away from it.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I tell my kids that all the time. I never lose. Because I always try to take a lesson out of something that when something fucks up, you know what I mean? You have to.
Yeah.
You have to. If you don't, it's a mind fuck.
Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
It's taking the wind out of your sails. And no, man, I refuse to take on that mindset, right?
Exactly.
I get frustrated. I get pissed. You know what absolutely. I mean? I'm human. But, you know, at the end of the day, you just got to take it in stride and figure out what you could have done better or... Even if it's not on you, right? You just still, okay, well, fuck, you saw this, you know, now you know what to look for, right?
In certain instances.
I tell my son that all the time. It's like, hey, man, you know what? If I tell you that bridge is gonna be out because I saw it before, you know, there's the lesson for you now, right? Don't go down that fucking road.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Some people are stubborn, man. They got to go their, you know, through their own little lessons and shit, and it sucks. Yeah. It sucks, but... It is what it is. Everybody has different learning patterns.
That's right. Of course.
That's right.
You know,
and sometimes you gotta lose at least some kind of cash because you know one thing that you know that people always talk about is you're gonna lose money in real estate regardless.
Yeah.
So whatever you do,
too. That's another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the real estate game, you're gonna lose money. So you know, anticipate that. But it's what you do after that really defines who you are.
Well, you know what? I was talking to. I went to visit my dad on Sunday, and I was talking to my siblings and one of my nephews, and we were just talking about business, right? Talking about business, and then Jonathan, one of my nephews, he asked me, well, what do you think, if I want to start a new business, what do you think should be my first milestone? Just to kind of not secure my success, but at least know that I'm advancing, right?
Celebrate the small win.
No, I told
him. Prepare to fail.
Just, you know, your first milestone should be shoot to break even. And that's it. If you recoup what you put in, then everything after the fact with all the lessons is a gain.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like a lot of people just want to shoot for the success, shoot for the top of the mountain. And then we say it all the time. They forget a fucking climate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the mountain's going to bend over for you to... Is that even possible? Like,
let me kneel down and pick you up.
You know, but yeah, it's you're gonna lose. I love how you said it. I've had my fair share of losses in the business.
Yeah,
you know, and they're scary. They're freaking scary. Do they make you want to quit? Yeah, sometimes absolutely they do want to make you quit. You know, is it embarrassing? It is embarrassing because now you got to go tell your inner circle, like, oh my God, I took a, you know, a hit here. And, well, wait a minute, weren't you in it for the success? They don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, they don't understand. You know, it's like, well, yeah, I'm in it for the success, but I took a loss, a lesson, right? But then it goes back into understanding your numbers and the taxes in it. And
exactly.
Just waiting for Uncle Sam to take that fucking loss.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Easy.
Easy peasy.
Yeah. So, Gamino, what do you do for a living, man?
All right. So, I'm a real estate investor for a living.
That's all right, Uncle. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is awesome. That is awesome. Do you see, I've been thinking about this. Do you see your company being like a lending company in the future, like a group of, like a lending group? Or are you just, is this your starting point and then move into flipping and wholesaling? Or is your main core competent intent in the in your company going to be that money connection?
I think this is going to be a stepping stone.
Just a stepping stone.
This okay. is going to be, this is going to open the door because, you know, one thing I strongly believe is in real estate, it's just one of those stepping stones you're going to have to take. Then you're going to have to, you know, a lot of people venture into the then fix and flips. Mm-hmm. It's the rite of passage. So I feel this is just going to be a stepping stone. And it just opened the door to everything else, because one day I will find what I'm going to be just dominating and what I'm going to kill, and that's what I'm going to focus on. But I'm not going to stop doing this. It'll be something that'll stay moving in the background.
So you say one day. Is that one day 10 years from now, or do you have like a timeline where you think by this time, like Danny was saying, I want to understand something closer to my investor ID? Have you thought of that?
I have. Within the next... So my game plan for the next 5 years is within a year and a half, I want to be able to shake my boss's hand and say, hey, you've been a great, great influence on me.
But fuck you.
No, not at all. You know, he's a great guy.
Oh, I was like, what's his name?
Agustin.
Agustin, I'm so sorry I said that.
Nah, he's, you know what? He's great. He's one of the biggest reasons why real estate even just, you know, tickled my brain. This guy is really, really awesome entrepreneur.
Right on, cool.
And so, yeah, one day I want to be able to shake his hand. I mean, you know what? We're going to part ways for me, you know, being your manager. But I want to open that door and start that new relationship with you where we become real estate partners.
Yeah.
Oh, that's then, beautiful.
Yeah,
that's
and, beautiful. And that's, love it. And that's within a year and a half to 2 years. And after that, then obviously I just want to just jump in this full force and make this my main focus. Make this my cool. bread and butter.
Cool.
Right on.
Right on, man.
It's beautiful. You are still doing the beautiful people. No, I love because all that he's saying here, it's do not discourage yourself. Mm-hmm. You are keeping up with your business, right? With mm-hmm. your side job. I mean, I guess the side job or hustle side. Now it's the real estate.
No.
And the lending.
No, not at all.
The
other way around.
We already went through this.
What do you mean?
That's, well, so.
Him and I already went through this.
Real quick, if I may, when I first met Weecho, yeah. we were at that meetup. And, you know, we're having a really good conversation. And he looks at me serious. Hey, Jeremy, so, you know, what do you do for a living? I'm a truck driver. No, you're not. And I looked at him, I'm all like thinking to myself,
yes, like a drug already.
Yes, I am. Like, I just came from my job. I'm, you know, that's what I do. And he started explaining to me that it's all about mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when you meet, you know, potential clients, they don't want to hear, hey, you know, so what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a truck driver. Then they're going to be like, all right, well, you're not really into real estate, are you? So then, you know, in talking to him again, he asked me the question again the second time. And the second time I was like, I'm a truck real estate investor.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then it's just that it's that mind shift from yeah. from that W-2 to the entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
So ever since then, you know, when people ask me, hey, so what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a real estate, you know, investor. Oh, really? Yeah. What pays the bills? Oh, my side hustle. Oh, you know, what's your side hustle? You know, I'm a truck driver manager, you know, and, yeah. you know, this, that, and the third. And that's what I do. But, you know, my main bread and butter, my main focus is real estate.
No, I love yeah. that. I like it's that. It's what you have to do, because if you don't believe, nobody's going to.
Exactly.
Right? And I also have a bunch of people that it's changing their, and it, I hope everybody needs to listen to this. It's the mindset that's going to bring you up.
Of course.
Right? And also, you are still on the safe where people get scared to even start. So your proof concept here, like you still have the side hustle job, uh-huh. right?
Correct. Uh-huh.
And can become that investor. That is what, that was the point, like to encourage people, you know, to become that investor, of to course. Do the same, right? Start lending, and you start in, and congratulations for doing that, thank because you. You start where everybody gets scared, everybody gets skeptical, and you're just like, you screw that.
Yeah.
I'm going to start, and I'm going to start as a lender, and you're doing great. So I love that.
Thank
and
you.
I think there's a lot of people there that should and listen to you and follow you as an example and keep moving forward as well. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's awesome, dude.
I love
it's
it.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Appreciate yeah. it. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Let's close it up, guys. Any closing statements, Campos?
No, I just like I like what you said. You know, your side hustle is the truck driving and your main highlight, homie, is real estate investor, right?
Yeah. Don't twist my mind.
But it's great because that saying, right? You put it in your mind, right?
Yep.
And shoot it out there, and everything else has to follow.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, man, good for you. Good
thank
for you.
You.
Cool. Danny.
Tell to the lady to come and fix this freaking AC. God's sake. I'm sweating.
I don't know
sweating.
She listens to the fucking podcast.
Please, lady.
Her, but come on, Karen. You got to fix the
yeah.
AC.
Summer's on. Coming.
It's cooking yo, everybody shoot. Here. Yeah. No, I think I say everything. Congratulations for what you're doing. I love it.
Thank you.
And thank God you're here to inspire people.
Amen.
Because this yes, is sir. Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Gamino, give our listeners or enthusiasts or upcoming investors a piece of advice.
It's the long game. This is the long game. Surround yourself with people who are like-minded, who have the same ideas and influences and the same goals that you do mm. and that you want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because without that, you're in a losing game.
Yeah. Awesome. I love that.
Yes, sir.
It is long-term.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, it. I don't want to prolong this anymore because Bruce is looking over there through the fucking crack.
He's already here.
But, I mean, if it weren't for the great grandkids, then where would you be heading, right?
Exactly.
Wow, it's cool. Well, thank you for being here, man.
Appreciate you for having me.
You have great energy and it was cool, you know, meeting you on that networking event and then keeping connected.
Oh, absolutely. Connected. Yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Right on. So folks, thank you for chiming in today and Campos.
Actually, one thing though, where can people find you?
Oh shit.
Where can people find you?
Not there.
People can find me on Facebook and Instagram under Jeremy Gamino or on TikTok at Indelibles Details LLC.
Okay, cool.
Right phone on, number. Right
on. Phone number. You guys can reach me out at 951-217-9382.
Any questions for lending, gap lending, EMD?
Anything. Even if they just want to have a conversation, I'm here.
If you want to buy him lunch,
hey, even better. Happening?
No beer because he doesn't drink.
But then I'll go with you guys.
Let's do it. Stuff me out, dude. What the hell?
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, you just said you weren't drinking anymore.
Yeah,
so, you
I'm
know.
Not drinking
okay,
anymore.
You guys okay. Stop drinking. Thank you, everybody, for being here.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. Don't forget to follow us at Become an Investor on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and give us that 5 stars.
5 stars.
5 stars. Follow us.
Follow us.
And hit us up, info@becomeaninvestor.com.
Right. All on. Right. Have a good night.
All right, guys.
Bye. Bye.